Welcome to the Child Free Wealth Podcast, hosted by Bree and Dr. J, certified financial planner. Here we discuss life and finances as it relates to being child free. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your advisor before implementing any ideas heard on this podcast.
Hey, Child Free Wealth listeners, today we are going to talk about one of Bree's favorite topics. I mean, literally is her favorite topic, I swear, estate planning.
Yes, I'm very excited for this one today.
You are very weird that estate planning is what gets you very excited, but
yeah.
Why are you so excited about talking about estate planning?
Because to me, it is the biggest act of love you could do for people in your life, is having all your stuff together so that they don't have to figure things out in the unfortunate event that something happens to you, which it will eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, the numbers is at some point you're going to die. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't escape it. I think the thing to keep in mind from an estate planning standpoint is, as child-free folks, we don't have a standard next of kin. In the government, financial system, healthcare, all assume you're going to have next of kin. And if you don't specify that, the government's making decisions for you. Bree, how do you feel about the government making decisions for you?
Not good. That is, I was going to say something else, but I'll just say not good.
You know, like, I'm not even making a political statement. I'm just saying, do you trust the government to make decisions for you? And I just don't.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And by the way, it's not always the government. So, like, if you have a healthcare issue and you don't have somebody appointed, it might be the doctor, be something like that. But I just, we need to figure this out, because my wife and I get in a car crash. The question is, A, who makes medical decisions for us? B, who makes financial decisions for us, like pays the bills? And C, who lets our dog out? Now, it may not sound like much, but, like, seriously, someone's got to let our dog out. You know, these are all things that need to be part of our plan. And it's hard. You know, the systems are not meant to do this. You know, this is one of those things where if you don't have paperwork in place, good luck.
Pretty much. Yeah, it really is good luck.
All right, Bree. We're going to get into specifics of will, power, charity, all that fun stuff. We'll get to all the legalese in a second. But before I even do any documents, I need to figure out, yeah, who should make the decisions. Who's making decisions for you?
Number one is my wife. Number two is my mom, which will not be a forever thing, but it is a for now thing.
Yeah, by the way, a lot of people have that, where they have their spouses first, or if they're a soloist, you know, they might just jump to their parent. But the problem is, your parent's going in the wrong direction. You know, statistically, they're older than you. I don't know if there's no way for them to be younger than you. So, you know, let's just go with that. You might be their executor, their power of attorney. And an executor, by the way, somebody makes decisions for the will, power of attorney, somebody while you're living. But if you don't have somebody, kind of like, it becomes an issue. And let me go through a little technicalities on this one for you. And this is one that keeps me up at night, is who's going to make decisions for the 50 million or so child-free folks in the United States when they can't. And the problem is, if you don't have a family member or a friend that you trust to do this, then you run out of options. So we had actually gone through in the book club, Sarah Geber's book on solo aging, and she talks about building a community to help making decisions. And I've seen this since I was just talking to somebody recently. And they were in a group in the LGBTQ plus community that has, like, a friends watching out for friends doing this for each other. That's a cool idea. I'm okay with it in general. But the problem is, do I really want to count on my friend making decisions for me for 3.7 years while I'm in long-term care? You feel comfortable with that, Bree?
I would definitely do it for certain people in my life, but it doesn't mean that I want to do that. And, you know, caregiver fatigue is real. Taking care of people, even if it's just saying, hey, this is what needs to be done while they're in long-term care, is still hard. And that's still a big responsibility. In general, if I can avoid it, I will.
Yeah. So my realization on this, and this is just messed up in my head. It's okay. You get to come hang out in my neighborhood and you'll see how messed up it is. Now, I'd be perfectly fine making decisions for a friend or a family member for years when they're disabled. I would not be comfortable with them making decisions for me, not because I don't trust them, because I don't want to be the burden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fair argument.
I mean, it's kind of sad to say, like, I'm okay. Like, if somebody put that burden on me, like, go, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll take care of that for Bree. But I wouldn't want to have to turn around and go, oh, Bree, you're going to take care of me.
Yeah. And I don't think that, I mean, one of us is dying first. So you got, like, it's not going to work out.
We're passing back and forth $50 for a Christmas gift every year. And the last one to die is the one that wins. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Kind of friendly, can share. Cool. I did have a really interesting discussion. Somebody was talking about like a Golden Girls setup, and they were all each supporting each other. But the problem is, like, statistically, one of you is outlast the rest, and you're out of luck. If you're in California, you can actually get something called professional fiduciary to do this service for you. I've also heard the same of Arizona. Some states, not so much. You know, there's one attorney in Georgia that does something called the Aging Ally. Attorneys in Texas would do the executor part, but not the medical part. Like, I've been working this for clients all over. You might be able to get a trust company to do it, but really that's only if you got like $10 million or more. So you have to have a bunch of money for it. And if you don't, the court will actually appoint a guardian or conservator. Yeah, it depends on the legalese terms of like what they are, but they'll appoint somebody to make those decisions for you. Problem is, that person doesn't know you from a hole in the wall. Like, literally, like, they know you are court case number 12456 and are making good decisions best they can, but like, they don't know you.
Yeah. I have a question about this too with the conservatorship. Is this like the whole Britney Spears thing? Is it essentially that except for a stranger?
So, okay, two different parts. You can go in to court and say, Brie has lost her mind. I'm going to take over everything for her. That's actually the Britney Spears argument. Started when she was young and then went beyond that. Then essentially the person who has had a conservatorship pushed on would have to say, no, I'm here. I should make my own decision, which we saw like the legal battle. That often happens like end of life. Like, you know, you can't make decisions, next of kin. They will appoint somebody. Usually end of life, it's kind of like you're not going to get it back.
Yeah.
There's also voluntary conservatorships where you can say, yep, I'm good. Bree's going to take care of this for me. The problem is the legalese on this stuff and like the lawsuits and all. I mean, it's a nightmare. And by the way, everybody's watched the movies where, you know, the conservators, you know, taking advantage of it. Like, unfortunately, it's kind of common. Like, I don't really want to. There's not a great solution for this. And hopefully, by the time this airs, I'll have some better answers. I've been working on this for 2 years, trying to find better solutions, talking to everybody, companies, and different things. The answer is we may have to change some things with our company to be able to help people with it. Like, it's a nightmare. Like, literally, this is the thing that keeps you up at night because of exactly what you're talking about. It is that Britney Spears. Now, by the way, we don't all have money like Britney Spears or, like, you know, doing a whole bunch of other fun stuff that got her into the conservatorship.
Yeah. That's true, but I don't ever want to be in that situation.
Yep. So you got to find somebody you trust to appoint into these positions. And I start with that because that's actually going to help us through the decision-making process for all the documents. You can actually have a different person for the executor than your medical power of attorney, than your financial power of attorney. They can all be different people. And by the way, you need a person and a backup. Because like Bridget's outline, her spouse is first, her mom is second. Well, the problem is, you know, if her and her spouse in a car crash, mom is the only one on the list now.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts becoming an issue. I've seen people say, well, I'm going to have my nephew do it or, you know, whatever. And I do kind of like, okay, I'm going to have my nephew and I'm going to give him some money to do it. You can specify that will or power attorney, like, yeah, we'll pay them for their time. But please have the conversation with them first before you put them on a piece of paper. Like, you literally can name anyone. You could, yeah. Pay, you know, by the way, don't do this, but you could be like, Brie Kahn is my executor on all the paperwork.
Oh my
Never
God.
Never met her in your life. She gets a phone call from the hospital and like, who the heck is this? Like, now, by the way, what's that?
I'm going to be like, well, whatever your paper says, I guess is good.
And what actually can happen is if you name somebody and you don't tell them, they can just say, not it. And just like, go to the next person. This is where it becomes a problem. So, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about your paperwork, you got to solve that question first. Everything else will get easier. You just have to like figure out who you trust. I particularly worry about this for the soloists. I'm single, no kids. I moved away, you know, from my family for whatever reason, or have a bad history in my family. I don't have any connection with them. And I don't want to have like my neighbor be my power of attorney. And I'm like, good thoughts. And then I'm like, what do you do next? Well, that's where it becomes a challenge. And you'd have to, you could try your local attorney, you could try a local bank and trust, see where they fit in, but you need to start working on it now. If I didn't freak you out about finding out a person, let's go through the rest of the documents. All right, Ray, so what's a will?
A will specifies what is going to happen to your estate. So any money you have, any of your property, and your just your stuff, to after you die. It's a legal document outlining all of that. Who is to get what?
Okay, so Bree, you have your will. Who gets all your stuff?
My wife and then my mom.
Okay, once again, we're going the wrong direction.
Yes, I know it's the wrong direction, but I'm young enough that my mom is in good capacity for now. When that changes, it'll change.
By the way, this is where a great place is to put and say, hey, you know, whatever's left over goes to my favorite charity or whatever else. How do you decide who to give your stuff to?
That really will depend on your relationships with people and what you want to do. Just because I want to give stuff to my family doesn't mean that you have to. You can say, no, you weren't a good person to me. Adios. You don't get anything. That's totally fine. It's all dependent on your heart, and there's no good way to say this is how you decide. It's just you have to take time and think about it.
Yeah, and by the way, keep in mind, we are not talking about the legalese of this. Yeah, we're not helping you write a legal document. There's services, you know, you can use an estate attorney or fill your own services like trust and will. But we're really talking about the questions that go in it. And the question of who to give yourself to, that's a tough question. My answer, by the way, is I'm going to die with zero. You know, I want to die with zero. If whatever's left over goes to my nephews. And we have three nephews, two on one side of the family, one on the other. And if my nephews get $10,000 or $100,000, I'm fine with it. If I get $1 million, I should have spent it or given away before, is what I say. But the question is, do I give half to each side of the nephews? Or does each nephew get a third? What do you think, Brie?
I just split it in half, personally. But if there are certain things that have come from family, that is all going to my sibling. They get that because it's from my family, and certain things from my wife, that's all going to my wife's sibling.
And by the way, you can arrange it any way you want. We've decided, you know, we're going to split it in half, and then essentially two nephews get to split the other half, and one nephew gets the other one. Just recently, before we recorded this, it was Thanksgiving weekend, and saw my nephew, and he's 11, and he says, well, I don't really want to be rich when I grow up. Because, you know, that comes with a whole bunch of, like, stuff. And like, now, again, man, you know, we're around the dining room table, you know, having this conversation. And I said to him, okay, so you're okay, then I don't have to give you the money of the will. And he's like, well, you can give me a little. All right, he's already put his order in, you know, like, it sounds silly. If you don't have family members you want to give it to, if you want to give it to your favorite charity, like I saw somebody, great will, they split it between four national parks. That if those parks don't exist, it goes to some other group. I'm like, that's beautiful because they were that, you know, they love national parks. I'm like, awesome. You can do whatever you want with your money. They don't get a vote in it. Now, one little caution. If you have that crazy family member, now, I'm not using crazy as a specific term, but I'm just kind of working this through. If you have somebody where you think they might fight your will, the best bet is to give them like a couple bucks in the will and then say, if you fight it, then you get nothing.
I love
it's called a poison pill. All right. Here's $1,000, and if you fight it, you get nothing. Yeah, I was reading somebody's will the other day, and literally, like this lady wrote, it was like, if you contest this will, I'll treat it as you have predeceased me, which is legal speak for I'll treat it as if you are dead. It's like, all right, well, what are you gonna do? Keep that in mind. Now, also in your will comes a harder question. I'm gonna ask Bree this one. Who gets Lily? And if you haven't met Lily and heard Lily, Lily's, you know, Bree's pup. Who gets Lily?
My parents get Lily. And then if they're not around, then my sibling gets Lily.
All right. So who gets your pets is actually a big question. Also, do they get money to take care of your pets? So we have a Mastiff and a Jerk cat. Those are big asks. So they get money for taking care of them. Okay. Just kind of how it works. But you want to make sure you've specified that in your will. By the way, you can also in your will specify, like, you know, do you want to be cremated or body donated or whatever? You know, I said I want to go on a Viking funeral and Bree's going to be the one shooting the arrow in there. But, you know, we'll see if
she'll be ready for it. I'm a good archer. If you didn't know that.
All right.
On Sunday Army.
You could also put in, by the way, wills, you know, do you want a funeral? Do you want a wake? Do you want all that? Best I've seen recently was, all those things are boring. I want to have a party. You were all to get kegs and get drunk. And I was like, all right. We're going to specify. Let's do it.
There you go.
So that's your will. Then we get into like this living will or healthcare directive or healthcare proxy. What's that?
So living will says what to do while you're still alive. And essentially giving directions as far as, do you want to be put on ventilators and machines like that to help sustain you? Or do you not want any of that? Do you want to be taken off of it? Do you want to be given nutrition, like through a feeding tube and water, anything like that? Or just no to everything? So it really allows you to give guidance for your medical decisions.
Yeah, and by the way, you're going to specify somebody that's going to be the power attorney making decisions for you if the paperwork doesn't, like, have the answer. And you got to be careful on. My parents, my mother wants, like, none of the machines. My dad wants all of them. Well, reality check is if my dad's making the decisions, he's going to say, put all the machines. Where my mom said, I want the plug pulled. That's why I'm actually listed as the power attorney there, to pull the plug. You know, you got to make sure that your family member or whoever is going to be doing this is willing to go along with it. Now, a little technicality on this. That only comes into place when you can't make decisions for you. Like, you know, hey, they got a breathing tube in you and you can't speak or whatever else. Otherwise, you're doing it. You're making it, you know, they'll step in when they otherwise have no clue. The thing on the living wills, I had somebody the other day talk about organ donation. Because that was actually a question that goes out of will. They're like, well, if I'm an organ donor, they're going to, like, kill me off faster so they can get my organs. I was like, yeah, no, that's not actually how that happens. But you get to specify whatever you want. Whatever you believe or don't, you put it in there. It can be restrictive based on religious beliefs or whatever else it is. You can put it in there. Once you get your medical power of attorney, your living will, healthcare director, which are all the same document, just different states have different names. You want to put it on file with your primary care doc so it goes in your electronic medical record. Like, if you happen to be in another state, you got one. Anything weird in your medical power of attorney or document?
Just let me go.
You're up, no machines.
No, I don't want that.
By the way, no judgment either way. It's just, it is what it is. It's up to you.
Yeah. My day will come and I just want to be gone. Thank you. Don't keep holding me on just to hold me on.
Is your wife okay with that answer?
Yeah, because we're the same in that.
By the way, if you have questions on this, talk to your primary care doc because they can walk you through it. One of the things that people miss, so I worked as a paramedic for years, and one of the things you learn is that whole, like, movie thing where, like, they do CPR and then, like, they put the paddles together and shock you and you come back and you're like, hey, how am I doing? That's not the way it actually happens, okay? The likelihood of that happening is very, very low. There is a point where it's like, yeah, it's not worth it. I will tell you one of the examples of the power attorney and how important this is, the medical power attorney. So I was working as a medic, and I go to this person's house, and the guy's, I don't know, he's 80, something like that. And he's dying of cancer, has a whole bunch of family members around, and they go, hey, he said DNR, do not resuscitate, we're not going to do CPR. And I said, well, do you have the paperwork? And they said, no. Well, then them telling me that means nothing. And I had to go start CPR until they found the paperwork. And, you know, you got six family members around the bedside, you know, upset, fighting, all that, until we got the paperwork in place. Because of the paperwork, very easy. But without it, you have to follow your protocols. You have to follow the process. And each state and area will have different protocols around that. But that's the way it works. You got to have that paperwork. And by the way, when do you have to have a will of power training? Now. Like, whenever you listen to this, now. Whatever it is. All right, next up on the list, Bree, is financial power of attorney. Tell me about that one.
This allows other people to make financial decisions for you and control your finances. This can be while you're still in good capacity. So, for example, my wife's gone on a trip and I need to do something. I need to sign some financial paperwork for her because we're trying to buy whatever. I have the right to do that using the financial power of attorney.
Now, there's two different types of this. There's the ones that on file all the time. That's what you got there. There's also one that's called springable, which only come into effect when something happens. You're like, when they can't make decisions or other things. The downside of the ones you're talking about where they're always in place is like you give your neighbor, because that's who you decide you trust, that financial power of attorney, they can go in and sign as you and do whatever they want with the financial forms. And now, by the way, you get to specify, like, can they open accounts? Can they close accounts? Can they, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is. But you are giving that power to act as you. You've probably actually done this at some point without even realizing. So, for example, if you buy a car, often you have to sign it what they call a limited power of attorney so they can fix like typos in the forms or take your forms to the Department of Motor Vehicles or something like that. That's a limited. Versus we're talking about full financial power of attorney, like they're me. You know, they could like go buy a house under my name and take on a mortgage. Even though I don't believe in debt, they could still do that. So you have to be careful on who you do that. The interesting thing is a lot of people I found have a different financial power of attorney than medical power of attorney. And part of that just has to do like family and friend dynamics. Like I trust so-and-so with my health, but I don't trust them with my money.
Yeah, that is true. Some people do have that and that's totally fine because I know that my wife will just say whatever Jay says. If something were to happen to me and I'm good with that, I have made very clear the things I want done. So I'm not too concerned, but not everybody has that.
Yeah. And that brings me to my last part of this, the core stuff, which is an in case I die file or I love you file. My wife, I freely admit, she doesn't do the finances day in, day out, probably doesn't know where everything is. Well, she knows. She goes in the safe. There's a piece of paper that says, I love you and here's what to do. And, you know, you just mentioned the conversation, you know, Reese might say, call Dr. J and he'll walk you through the next steps. I've got a friend's name listed there. If all fails, call this person. They'll help you through it. It literally has everything in it. So tell me about your in case I die file.
It starts out with specifying everything I want for my funeral and very like, I even went so far as to take a screenshot of Google Maps and mark where I will be sprinkled.
little controller there, Brie, just saying.
Yeah. And it's like, part of it is on like our family land and there's a lake shallow one that's like exists sometimes. And it says, if it doesn't exist, keep me hanging around on the shelf until it does. Then you can sprinkle me. So I put those things in there, the flowers I want. Like, for example, I hate roses. I think they are the most over whatever. Like, I just hate roses. So I wrote in there, do not lay roses over my dead body. And like, just different things in there. So it can be kind of nice and fun.
So Okay. Everybody listening, send Brie roses. No.
Oh my God, no. Pink peonies. I love pink peonies. And then it also has who the person that grooms our dog is, who's in charge of boarding our dog, where to contact people for insurance, different things as far as accounts and where stuff is located in there as well. Different logins for my accounts on different various apps and websites. So it includes all of that information in there. And I didn't think about this till the other day. I found a really good one and I'll link it in the show notes. Also groups to notify that I'm part of. Like, hey, you know, you got to end my membership with that group because I'm dead. So that's also going to be in there very soon.
Yeah. And by the way, all your accounts, your passwords, all the best bet is actually to have like a password manager you share with the people that are your executive power of attorney so they can have access to it. But like, it's a dumb question, but like, who owns your socials? And like, what do they do with them? Which actually has become a big issue, especially if you have a brand, other things, you know, like there's a value to them. Who actually says I'm dead? Are they allowed to post as me? Like, it sounds silly, but these are like tough questions at this point. I was having a conversation with somebody recently about their digital assets. They're like, hey, can I specify that they like just destroy everything? Sure. You know, I had somebody else who's like, have like a two-part, like you, somebody needs this password and somebody has that password. They put them together to come up with a password key of, I don't care. If you do have crypto, big issue of like whether you have a hot or cold wallet and who can get access to it. I mean, all of these things need to be specified because you're imagining somebody taking over your stuff where you left off and like, are they going to be okay? Our rent is paid automatically, but if it wasn't, like, do I have to pay it right this second? Like, am I going to get kicked out tomorrow? Like, How's that work? And that's all got to go in your case IDI file. And updating this once a year is really important, at least once a year. But you want to have that in a place where people get to it, which goes with all the paperwork. You need to have will, power of attorney, all that. You need to have an electronic copy. You also need to have a paper copy. You need to get it signed. Depending on the state, you might need it notarized. And you need to keep it up to date. You can change a will at any time. Like, you can, like, rip up the old one, put a new one. No big deal. You're not making lifelong decisions. But you need to have access to it. Like, you know, we're going to have a separate episode talking about preparing for your parents. But my parents live 1,200 miles away. If I don't have a copy of their power of attorney, I get a phone call in the middle of the night, I'm out of luck.
Yeah.
To make sure you're sharing this stuff. The nightmare is, like, you keep the will in the safe deposit box, and then the person doesn't have access to the safe deposit box because they need a will to say they have access to it. But that's in the safe deposit box. Now I got to go to court to get access to it. It's a nightmare. Yeah. All this paperwork needs to get done. The other one that needs to get done, that's not necessarily in this paperwork set, but is part of estate planning, is your beneficiaries. You need to update all the beneficiaries in your accounts and you need to check them once a year. Yeah, I just had somebody recently who got a document from finances that had an old address on it from years ago. Where'd that come from? I don't know. Some system updated somewhere, like beneficiaries, like your HR system updates something or overwrites your 401k. Anything that's to a beneficiary passes outside of the will. That's something that's important to put in place and make sure you update, especially like if you have a life change. Hey, I got divorced, but my ex is still listed as a beneficiary. Insurance policies on the accounts, all that. It becomes a big priority. Bree, in closing, kind of like, I know this is your favorite topic, but what advice would you give somebody to do right now?
We'll put an article in the show notes here. But read that article, sit down and figure out the answers to those and get this stuff done right away. Unless you're good with your government making a decision for you.
And by the way, the government depends on where you are at that time. You might like your state right now, but if you're traveling and, you know, you get an accident in some other state, who knows? And by the way, so just keep this in mind for the will. If you don't have a will, the government will try to find your next of kin. But some states don't try so hard. You know, like for example, Bree gets killed in some random state in a car crash. I don't know why I keep killing off Bree, but she's here.
And I'm gone.
Some states will just put like an ad in the paper saying, Bree has passed. Do you know her? No? Okay, thank you. And if they don't find next of kin, the state takes the money for themselves. Guess what? Then it don't look so hard if they like take the money. Like, I hate to be jaded that way, but some states look a lot harder than others. People like, I saw me say, well, XYZ state has a department that does it. Sure. For how many people are they searching for their next of kin? Mm-hmm. And at what point do they just give up and take it?
Very true.
I mean, yeah. Get your paperwork in place. The one other one, I'm just going to make a caution. If you are a couple and not married, this all needs to be in place like immediately, because being married kind of fills in some of the blanks. So at least your spouse should get the stuff and should be able to make power of attorney decisions for you. I say should because who knows? Some states are trying to like have issues with marriage and different things. You need to have that in place so that if you're not married, your partner can make decisions for you. Particular is an issue for the LGBTQ+ community. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and her partner, who had been together for years, had a heart attack. And luckily, the hospital was willing to talk to her, but the hospital, by all rights, could have went, nope, you're nobody. Bye. So you got to make sure that paperwork's on file. Get it done. Get it done now.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a rating or review. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Follow Child Free Wealth on social media or email us at podcast@childfreewealth.com. If you're interested in working together, learn more by visiting our website, www.childfreewealth.com. We'll see you next time.